Good morning.
Good morning.
We're a smidgen late because we like to visit and talk, which is okay too, I guess. We need to catch up from a whole week of not seeing one another. If you look at your worship folder, there's a few things scheduled this week, a few announcements. First, today, we are beginning an adult study during that Christian Education Hour. At 11 o'clock, Roger Linden is going to begin a study on Philippians with us. I'm looking forward to that. We have good fellowship together, but it'll be good to study together as well. Wednesday, the Pastoral Search Committee is meeting. We have looked at several referrals, several resumes, without success yet, but we continue to pray for a pastor. Next week, Pastor Cowan will be here, and we will have the next session of the study. And then a couple weeks from now, coming up, we have Project Day and the council meeting. So if you would keep those in your mind and make note of them. I'm not aware of any other announcements. If you would stand and join me in the call to worship, please. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Nations shall come to this light.
Kings to the brightness of his dawn.
Remain standing for hymn number 193, I Think of That Star of Long Ago. I think of that star of long ago. That lighted the wanderer's path below. In faith I look up, and o'er me I see that star in its beauty still shining for me. O star that once shone over Bethlehem, thy beams adore mortal, great joy. Almighty God, For you sent your only begotten Son that we might have new life. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for you became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might become your people. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, for you are the promised gift that we might witness in power. Glory to you, Almighty God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for this morning's scripture.
Good morning. Our first reading today is taken from Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 43. Exciting times. Cornelius has just had a vision from God, and he was told to send for Peter, and Peter's been given a vision to tell him that it's okay to go to visit this Gentile centurion believer. And so we start with Peter's words, and before he's done, the Holy Spirit falls on these group of believers, and they have the same kind of experience that the disciples had. So exciting times. Beginning in verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I realize now how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And our second reading today, excuse me, is from Matthew, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1 and goes through verse 12, page 738 in your pew Bible. And we're looking at the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
As we prepare for our offering this morning, hear these words. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, to share our love and material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. We'll have the usher come forward. As we go to prayer this morning, I have two comments. I'm going to begin with a definition, and I'm also, when we pray, we don't always name names or get into specifics, and I'm not going to do that, but I am going to use some names as we pray this morning just to add meaning to the fact that we're praying for real people. But the first thing I wanted to share with you this morning is a definition of revival from Pastor John McKenzie of the Hope Fellowship Church in, in Texas anyway. I like being connected to Facebook and seeing the churches and fellowships that some of my friends attend and learning from them too. And as we pray this morning, I want you to keep this in mind, that we pray for a revival. A revival is when a group of believers simultaneously ask God for a supernatural transformation of their lives that brings conviction, contrition, and repentance of sin, a renewal awareness of God's presence, a hunger for God's word, a compassion for the lost, and a humility to love and serve the body of Christ. I think praying for a revival sounds like a New Year kind of thing to do. It just struck me anyway. But join me in prayer. Faithful Lord, we offer our prayers to you for a world in need. Let us pray for the church worldwide. Lord of the church, give us unity in the Spirit to be one in the witness of saving love, and with one mind and one mouth glorify you. Let us pray for our congregation. Lord, we pray for those that are experiencing illness and loss. We pray for Greg and Jean, Sue's family, Susan's family, for Matthew, for Nathan, for Pastor David Kent, for Isabella, for the law enforcement and the healthcare workers that keep us safe. We pray for them, Lord, and we thank you for them. Head of the body, give us wisdom to follow your commandments, to live peacefully, to do justly, and to walk humbly with you. Let us pray for those in power. Creator and ruler of the universe, give to all who exercise authority and determine destiny, wisdom and virtue to bless your people and to bring peace across the land. Let us pray for the anguished in body and soul. Source of all compassion, give to all who suffer the light of your presence and the caring of your people to bring calm and comfort. Lord, let us pray for our enemies. Giver of good to all, take from us any evil thought or will, so that we may forgive those who have offended us as you have forgiven us, and bring them to your saving grace. Let us pray for ourselves. All-knowing one, you who see us as we are and know us as we should be, forgive our sins, set us free from fear, and give us life abundant with your guiding presence, that we may be yours forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And now turn to hymn number 192, As with Gladness, Men of Old, and you may remain seated.
As with gladness, men of old, did the guiding star be leading onward, beaming bright. So most gracious Lord, may we evermore your splendor see. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly
And now I'll ask Pastor Rebecca to come and share with us this morning.
Good morning. Well, I've heard that you're sort of in a season of substitutes. So one of the things that I think is wonderful is you get to experience different preaching styles, different things on Sunday mornings. So we're going to be doing something a little bit different this morning. I've told Judy that she might want to, now that you've gotten down, you might want to stay at the bench. You've maybe been wondering why you have We Three Kings when it's not listed as one of your hymns. And that's because my sermon this morning is going to intersperse all five verses into my sermon. So there will be a point at which I will cue the congregation that we're going to sing the next verse. We're going to stay seated, otherwise it will be quite the workout for the knees. And hopefully it won't mean that my sermon is that much longer. We'll see. So before we begin, let's just pray, please. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to ask that we will start with verse 1. Well, despite the fact that many of our stores already have their Valentine's Day candy on display, and that the Christmas stock has been put to clearance and moved out, maybe even for a week, Christmas actually ended yesterday. Christmas actually lasts for 12 days, hence that song we all know, past December 25th, and doesn't officially end until Epiphany on January 6th. So Epiphany, which we're celebrating this morning, if you didn't already know, is the day that we remember the visit of the Magi, or the wise men from the East. Epiphany celebrates the good news that Christ was born to be a savior, not just for Israel, but for any and all who seek him. Jesus was sent to bring God's light to the whole world. On Christmas, we remember that Christ is a gift from God, a gift that God has sent for us. But Epiphany is when we remember, when we are asked to consider, like those wise men of old, what gifts we will bring to the Christ child. And so this morning, I would like us to take a look at the three gifts that the wise men brought, what each might symbolize for us in our personal relationship with God as we look at a new year. A year that is ripe with the possibilities of renewed and stronger relationship with Christ. Let us begin with gold through singing the second verse.
Star with royal
So the first gift is the gift of gold. Gold was brought to Jesus because it is a gift for a king, and gold was the usual gift that one would bring to royalty. And so by this gift, the Magi were stating that the Christ child was the king of whom the prophets had foretold. Gold had then and still has today incredible value. It is scarce, and we know that scarcity often adds immeasurable value. Gold is enduring and can withstand all natural acids and even fire, and gold is adaptable. It is easily shaped and readily alloyed with other metals to increase its strength. And gold is beautiful. And so perhaps because of all these qualities, rarity, endurance, adaptability, beauty, gold is so highly prized. The gift of gold symbolizes the best of what the wise men had to offer. And so as we enter into a new year, we are reminded that in everything, we too are to offer the best that we have. Our best. As a child, I loved helping my mother plan the special dinners and celebrations at our house. And when my father would have a client or his boss, or maybe they would have friends over for a special occasion, my brother and I wouldn't always eat with the adults, sometimes having our dinner first, but even then, I would help my mom set the table before the guests would arrive. And I loved her beautiful china with the gold edging around the roses and the crystal glasses that were so thin and different from the clunky glasses that we used every night for dinner, and the shiny silver flatware. And I remember one day, the day after a dinner party, my mom was carefully packing the special dishes away in her hutch, and I asked her, "Can't we use them tonight for dinner for us, Mama?" And my mother laughed, and she said, "No, Beck, these are our best dishes. They're saved for special occasions and special guests." And I guess I must have scrunched my face up, and I said to her, "Oh, well, I guess God and Daddy and I aren't special enough, huh?" And so that night, we ate hot dish off of beautiful china plates and drank milk from finely etched crystal goblets. And when my mom passed down her china to me, she reminded me of this story, and she said, "Don't forget to use them on just a regular Thursday night." And so over Christmas this year, as I have a tradition of doing, I invited a group of friends over, and we had Vi's pizza off my best china and Diet Coke in crystal goblets. And they thought I was crazy, but I knew that they were worthy of the very best. And I believe that we offer gifts of gold to the Christ child every time we offer our very best to the people in our lives and to the world. Let us continue with verse 3. The second gift was a gift of frankincense. Frankincense is the very costly and fragrant gum distilled from a tree that is found in Persia, India, and Arabia. It is the pale yellow or white resin that is obtained by slitting the bark of a particular tree and allowing the gum or sap to flow out. And the gum hardens for 3 months and then is gathered and sold in the form of tears. Because frankincense is highly fragrant when burned, the priests would often burn it in the temples and the high holy places as a sort of incense. For instance, Exodus 37 through 8 reads, Aaron must burn the fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends to the lamps and again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. It was thought that the smell wafts up to heaven and is pleasing to God. And so the second gift, frankincense, reminds us to always try to do what is pleasing to God. When making decisions in our lives, we most often give consideration to what we want, what the people in our lives might want, to the opinions, unfortunately, sometimes of other people, like coworkers or neighbors or friends, what they might want or what they might think, which isn't necessarily in itself a bad thing, but sometimes we forget that first we should take into consideration what God wants. God's wishes for our lives and for the world might be vastly different than our own. We might wish for a life to go on the way it always has, but God might have new challenges and new blessings in store. We might want to stay complacent in our faith, indifferent to outreach. God might be yearning for us to try something new. We might be perfectly content in holding a grudge or indulging in the every whim of our grandchild, in keeping the same small circle of friends. God might wish for us to forgive or to say no or to reach out to someone who is struggling to find a new social circle after the death of a spouse, a divorce, a new move. So in the months and days ahead, I would challenge each and every one of us to try a little harder, to put our own desires in the background, to hush the voices of everyone else's demands, and to simply think, what is pleasing to God? What does God want? So our lives might become a fragrant sacrifice to the Lord. Let us continue with verse 4 and myrrh. And so the last gift was the gift of myrrh. Myrrh is an aromatic gum from a thorny bush, like frankincense, that is which grows in the same area and is obtained much the same way. But instead of being burned as a sacrifice with a pleasing aroma, it has a bitter taste and smell and was used for medicinal purposes, mainly for embalming the dead. It is the main ingredient used in the oil or ointment for preparing bodies for burial in the ancient Near East. And so the gift of myrrh foreshadows the death that Christ would one day undergo, a sacrifice that he would make for the salvation of those who would believe. And so even at the bedside of the baby, there was a shadow of death, the realization of what was to come. The gift of myrrh serves as a reminder that we are to live each day to the fullest and to appreciate the gift of the life that we have been given by God. And myrrh reminds us that we can live without fear because that gift of eternal life is ours through our Savior Jesus Christ. Often, though, isn't it that we forget to live bold, and we forget to treasure every day as a priceless gift. We let our lives just sink into these patterns, and we forget to cherish and celebrate life. A few years ago, before the pandemic, a friend of mine and her husband took their whole family to a vacation in California. Their two kids, their spouses, and between them, four grandchildren. The youngest, Reagan, was then three and was seeing the ocean for the first time. At first, Reagan was a little afraid of the water, having lived her entire life, of course, in the landlocked Midwest, and she had never seen anything as vast as that California coastline and kept saying, "Big lake, Grandma!" But she soon learned to love the ocean. Her grandmother told me that her favorite thing to do was just to walk up to the waves and stand there until the sand had pushed all around and she couldn't move. And then she would yell, "Daddy, Daddy's stuck!" And her father would come over and pull her out. She giggled and thought this was a lot of fun and was never concerned because she knew that her daddy was there to pull her out. And I have often thought that that is the metaphor for many of us when it comes to our lives. We stand in the same place, allowing the sands of time to wash over us. We get stuck in the same patterns that we don't move out of, and we're certain that if necessary, our Heavenly Father is there to pull us out. Look at the pattern of your life for a moment. Like me, do you ever get stuck in the patterns of complaining and fail to see the abundant blessings that you have been given? Do you ever blast into the people that you love when, if it had been a stranger or an acquaintance, you might have taken greater care with how you had voiced a request or a complaint? Do you ever forget to tell the people you love the most those three little words? Do you look in their eyes? How often do you look into their eyes on just an ordinary moment and say, "I love you"? Or do you just shrug it off, thinking, "Well, they know that I love them, even if I don't say it"? It is so easy to get stuck in our same routine with our same self-centered interests. We don't start that new volunteer project. We forget or we put off visiting that person that we've been intending to see. We don't tell the people how very much we love them and what they mean to us. And before you know it, time has slipped away, and sometimes we miss the opportunity completely. Before you know it, we are buried up to our calves in old habits. They say it takes over a month to create a new habit, and skipping it maybe just one day or two means you have to start all over again. And so I ask us, what habits do we want to cultivate in 2023 so that our lives might be a blessing to others and might reflect the blessings that our Savior has given to us? Yes, Christmas is over. Epiphany even has come and gone. But this new year has begun, and it is fresh, and it is a year full of so many possibilities, and God is waiting for us to make him a new habit this year, waiting for our best, waiting for us to choose to do what is pleasing to him alone, waiting for us to show the appreciation of the gift of salvation that is ours through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. God is waiting for us to put our lives to good use. What new gifts will we offer the Christ child this year? Let us finish with verse 5.
Behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. I know I had a moment of panic wondering, what in the world did I miss? Where is that song? I can't find it. So I'm glad that's all cleared up. And that was excellent, excellent to look at the gifts to the Magi. Please find hymn number 196 in your hymnals, and you may stand when you find it. We'll conclude with "What Star Is This with Beams So Bright?" Seated for a minute. We always think about New Year's resolutions and January being the start of a new life, a new year, a new attitude, a new whatever. But I just have a quick story I want to share before we bless each other. I gave my grandson breakfast this week, and I put the plate in front of him, and he pointed to the plate, and he says, "What's that?" And I said, that's your sausage. And he said, that's not how Papa cooks it. I said, well, Papa gives you links, and that's a patty. And then he pointed, and he said, well, what's that? I said, that's your egg. That's your dipping egg, you know, soft yolk. You can dip your toast. And he's a little stinker. He pointed to the toast, and he said, well, what's that? I said, well, I think it's toast. He says, you think, but you don't know? And I thought, oh, brother. Well, anyway, that story, I've repeated it many times. I thought it was hysterical, but it was rolling around in my head last night as I was not sleeping. And I thought, how many times do we say, I think that, I hope that, you know, I wish, but are we sure? And somehow I drew that analogy with our relationship with the Lord. You know, we have to know. We have to know that we're saved and that we have that salvation that the gift of the baby Jesus gives us. And I just wanted to share that this morning, that I want you to know. And if you don't know, there's lots of ways to find out. You can go straight to the source. You can talk to God about it, the scripture, Christian friends. But, yeah, I think we need to know more and think and guess less. So thank you for that, and please just tuck that away somewhere and remember that the gift of Jesus was the beginning of that plan for salvation, which we embark now from childhood to a young man to a ministry, and then we reach Easter and the resurrection. So thank you. Now if you would stand, and we will sing the blessing to one another.
The Lord bless you and keep you.